Hey, welcome to the Amber May Show. I have so much to share with you because breaking news came out of the CDC and I want to talk about it. I have a lot of little video clips I want to show you and I'm really excited. Make sure you subscribe to my Rumble account because I'm sure it's only a matter of time before they take me off of YouTube altogether. I also have a podcast. I'll put the link to that as well. That way you can follow me there. Too. YouTube's just a lot easier to use than Rumble. And it's been taking a while to get my videos uploaded to there. So, but follow me there. That way you can, you know, we can follow each other and keep track of one another because it's only a matter of time. I told you a while ago about my hesitations with getting on the Corona bandwagon, and we're going to dive into that. But before we do, you know, the number one reason why people get ill or injured or go into bankruptcy or foreclosures because they get ill or injured and they're not able to work for an extended period of time. And I have a way to help you with that, and also with tax-free retirement income and an amazing savings account all in one. So if you want to learn how to do that and also build legacy wealth for your family, click the link below to learn more. And natural health is something that I value a lot. And so if you want natural ways to support your immune system, essential oils are the way to go. In my opinion, they can help with emotional support and support your immune system along with other variable things. So click the link to learn more about that. Oh, a lot of natural products that are like super healthy for you. So click the link to learn that. So much to talk about. I love the Dave Rubin Report. I am a huge fan of him. I love his shows. I think he does a great job with all of his shows that he brings to the table. I hope that YouTube never takes him down. So I want to share a video of him. And we're talking to, did I not bring it up? Here it is. I want to give you a clip of what we talk about in, let me make sure my audio is set up for sound. Perfect. Now check this out.
CDC Director Rochelle Walensky was defending new mask guidance for vaccinated Americans. Now, oddly, just a few days ago, she was saying we should all still be wearing masks and we should be social distancing. Then the CDC said, no, you don't have to do that stuff. And I believe it's Martha Raddatz at ABC actually did a nice job questioning here. Take a look.
It was just Tuesday when you sat before a Senate committee and you were adamant then that masking and social distancing should remain in place. But the Washington Post is reporting you had already approved a decision to change the guidance. When it was finally announced on Thursday, it came as a huge surprise and left some administration officials, doctors, businesses off guard. So why so suddenly, and why did you not tell the Senate panel what you had decided?
Thank you. Good morning, Marcia. Thanks, Martha. Thanks for having me. I am, first of all, let's celebrate this moment. We're at a place in this pandemic. Cases have been coming down more than a third just in the last 2 weeks. We have vaccine now across this country, widely available for anyone who wants it. And we now have science that has really just evolved even in the last 2 weeks that demonstrates that these vaccines are safe, they are effective, they are working in the population just as they did in the clinical trials.
All right, so Rochelle Walensky, the director of the CDC, is a silly, unserious person. First off, I'm not a scientist, but I do know something. Science doesn't evolve.
Yes,
you can find
you.
Out new things, but science does not evolve. What can evolve are policies as you get new information as it relates to science and fact, okay? So nothing evolved in the science in the last 2 weeks, right? There's no suddenly new information about this or that or the other thing. But the administration has been trying deliberately to scare people. By the way, Joe Biden, even accidentally, when every few weeks he says something that's true, he accidentally said that a couple weeks ago. Remember when they asked him, they said, well, wait a minute, it was one of the press things where he comes back to the podium and he's not supposed to be, and be there, and he's always like, oh, I shouldn't do this, I'm gonna be in a lot of trouble. And it's like, well, who are you gonna be in trouble with, Joe? But basically they said to him, well, why Joe, are you wearing the mask when we're outdoors? You're not standing here, everybody. You've been vaccinated. It's against the science. And he's like, well, we just want people to keep wearing the masks, and it's kind of messaging, and you know, blah, blah. It's like they're telling us that they're lying to us. This woman, Rochelle Walensky, you may remember another clip that we played a couple weeks ago, where she was being interviewed by somebody, and she was like, I'm just gonna go off script for a moment and just tell you, and she basically was like, winter is coming, everything's gonna be horrible. Do you remember that? Find the clip if you haven't seen it. I mean, it's just extraordinary. And what she was talking about was that these places, like Florida and Texas, are reopening, and oh my God, something really, really horrible is gonna happen, and I'm here from the CDC, and I have to scare you guys, otherwise my grift is up. Well, her grift is almost up because people have just had it. And actually, when I talked to people in Dallas, which is a free city in the free state of Texas, everybody that I talked to, you know, people usually come up to me, but I went to a bar, get this. I was meeting a friend and I sat at a bar. You can't do that here in LA. We don't let people sit at bars. So I sat at a bar and I had a few minutes and I started chatting with a couple of people, and everyone thinks this is all bullshit. Like, you people have lied to everybody to the point that you've shot your load and you've got nothing left. Nobody listens to you anymore because of what you have done and your mixed messaging and all that nonsense. So, all that being said, I want to give a shout out to ABC's Martha Raddatz. You asked a good question. That seemed like some level of journalism, and
I have to stop screen share for a second because there's going to be a stupid commercial. But I love Dave Rubin. I mean, he's like, this is BS. And he said it. I love it. But did I not tell you that was the tactic that they were using to scare you, to control you, to do something that you wouldn't ordinarily do on your own, which is terrorism? Anytime an organization uses fear to drive you to do something, that's terrorism. Plain and simple. We always think of the Arabs being the terrorists. No, it comes in all forms. If someone's compelling you to do something you don't want to do, if someone has a gun to your temple and they're going to say, get out of the car, we want your car, that's terrorism. They are using fear to control you, to elicit a response, okay? And fear is a huge motivator. I mean, we have the inside of, like, drive to want to protect ourselves. So that's a very powerful motivator. That's why it is used a lot to get people to do their bidding. I have so much to share with you today, but I highly recommend that you go back to this on the David Rubin report, because I want to have you listen to what the press secretary said, but I have so much to cover, and some people think my shows are too long, but there's just so much information that I think it's valuable for you to know. But basically, she was asked a hard question about this because the president called everyone who didn't want to get the vaccine as Neanderthals, and she didn't even answer that question. And typical politician, she just like went around it and didn't even address it and made up her own answer. And if you notice, she uses this book in front of her quite a bit. Like, it's a script that she has to read and she has to stay on the script. And she's constantly telling you to go to this agency and get that answer, or that agency to get that answer, or that agency. The former press secretary, if you asked a question about the government, about the federal government, she answered to the best of her abilities. And if she didn't know, she'd tell you. This one stumbles all the time, reads from a book what she can and cannot say, doesn't answer the question, skirts around it or circles back, and then tells you to go to this agency, that, or what the hell is she doing? Like, why is she even the press secretary if she doesn't give us any answers? Anyways, go to the David Rubin report and watch that video. I want to share some more stuff with you. I want to share with you, this was from Rose Unplugged, and this is another physician that you could get a second opinion on, because we've only heard from Dr. Fauci, and we're going to get to Dr. Fauci in just a minute. So you hold your horses. We only got to hear from every kind of source, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, or the mainstream media, one physician, one message, no second opinion. Typically in medicine, you get a second opinion. So I'm going to give you a second opinion on what's going on. Okay. So check this out. This was on the Rose Unplugged show. She does a lot of Sean Hannity stuff. When Sean Hannity needs to go on vacation, she helps him quite a bit with covering his programs.
Everybody that's associated with the production and distribution of the vaccines that are currently in circulation, they say that there's still too many questions about the safety, the efficacy, the necessity of the vaccines that have not been addressed. Do you feel that any of these issues have been addressed sufficiently?
No, it's been, you know, full court press, everybody get a shot, everybody get a shot, without stepping back and saying, is this logical? Is this reasonable? I mean, if you look at the rates of the virus in the U.S. right now, our numbers have gone down so precipitously.
Yes.
And that was before the vaccines ever even would have had efficacy. So, you know, it's interesting to think, you know, we're giving credit to, oh, it's because of vaccines. No, it's because coronavirus was going down before we even started this effort. And that's because we have in a lot of regions already a broad herd immunity. And so it's very frustrating to be experimenting on the population. I mean, there's over 4,000 deaths reported in the VAERS system. That's the Vaccine Adverse Event System. Over 100,000 adverse reactions. And then I saw a study the other day that said 3% of injuries from the vaccine will be permanent. So if you figure 100 million people
Wow.
have gotten a shot, that's 3 million people with a permanent injury. Even a colleague that works with me, he has burning eyes ever since he got his shot. And, I mean, I haven't gotten the shot and I won't, but, you know, a young 30-something to have burning eyes for the rest of his life, not
fun. Oh, my
fun.
God. You know, I mean, it's just, I find that frightening. I almost feel like if you're young and you're healthy, my opinion is, take a chance on the virus. Many of us have had it and, you know, it was, you know, a week of, you know, not feeling great at all, really. And some have had it worse, I understand. But I'm saying if you are young, no comorbidities, and you're healthy, the numbers show that you make it through it. You know, they say that vaccines for other coronaviruses have never been approved for humans. Is that true?
Absolutely true.
Wow.
And the reason being, in the short term, they look like, hey, hooray, it's making an antibody, we're getting a response. But in the long term, they lead to hyperimmune reactions when exposed to a new variant of the virus down the road. So they've never made it to approval, not in humans, and in certain animals that get other kind of coronaviruses, same bad reaction. So we've known historically that if you try to vaccinate against this family of viruses, you know, I'm not anti-vaccine. There's plenty of good, safe vaccines out there that are beneficial for society. But
right.
We're going down the primrose road right now with something that we don't know the long-term outcome to.
Oh, my.
I'm going to stop there. That's what frightens me the most with everyone that I've known that got it. Like, I'm just asking the good Lord to have mercy on people that are trusting their government, trusting officials that are in the medical field, telling them to get this vaccine, when really it's just, we're a lab rat. You just heard it. They have not ever been successful at doing a vaccine before. So I'm scared, you know, I'm scared for my family members that have taken it. I'm scared for our society. I don't wish to see people ill or injured, but he said like 2 million people will be permanently injured from this. If you watched a program that I did earlier about the coronavirus and the fear, they did this back in the 60s with the flu virus. And there was a vaccine that they used that permanently disabled a lady. For the rest of her life, she was fine before she took the shot. And it was the same kind of MO, same kind of marketing ploy, and she was permanently disabled. And that kind of stuff scares me. So just be careful. I'm not telling you not to get it. Can't tell you what to do. It's a free country. You do what you like. Or we're fighting to keep it a free country. You know, it's been a hard battle. And I want to just preface all this. I haven't been saying this a lot. And then I get mad at myself after I don't say this. If we win this thing, it's not because we did it on our own merit. The opposition party is way too powerful and has way too much money. And the conservatives do not have that much power and money like they once possibly did. The reason why all this information is becoming out is because the good Lord has been giving people this information. And the information that God is like bringing to light, it's God moving, it's God's hand. And if we win this thing, we're in a war right now. And we're in a war that's not shedding bullets right now. Okay. If we win this thing, it's because God won the battle for us, just like he did with Gideon, just like he did with David and Goliath. It's because God won this battle for us. So I just want to set that out there, that I'm giving God the glory to get all this information out to people so that we can rise against the lies, because the truth will set us all free. And I'm going to continue with my program because I have so much to share with you. Okay, this is Senator Rand Paul arguing over the COVID-19 masks. And I love him so much. I love him so much.
British study, David Wiley and others found that no symptomatic reinfections from COVID-19 after following 2,800 patients for several months. In fact, there have been no reports of significant numbers of reinfections after acquiring COVID-19 naturally. Shane Crotty, a virologist at La Jolla Institute for Immunology, concludes from his experiments that the amount of immune memory gained from natural infection would likely prevent the vast majority of people from getting hospitalized disease, severe disease for many years. In this study, which was published in Science, Dr. Crotty showed that antibody levels stayed relatively constant with only modest declines over 6 to 8 months. Dr. Crotty reported that notably memory B cells specific for the spike protein or RBD were detected in almost all COVID-19 cases with no apparent half-life at 5 to 8 months after infection. In other words, Dr. Crotty found significant evidence of long-term immunity after COVID infection. Furthermore, Dr. Crotty noted B-cell memory to some other infections has been observed for as long as 60-plus years after smallpox vaccination, or even 90 years after natural infection with influenza. That was a woman who got the Spanish flu, still showed immunity 90 years later. So rather than being pessimistic towards people gaining immunity after they've had COVID or had a vaccine, studies argue for significant optimism. In fact, there have been no scientific studies arguing or proving that infection with COVID does not create immunity. There have been no studies showing significant numbers of reinfections. Of the 30 million Americans who have had COVID, only a handful of reinfections have been discovered. In fact, the New York Times reported last fall more than 38 million people at the time worldwide had been infected with the coronavirus, and as of that date, fewer than 5 of these cases had been confirmed by scientists to be reinfections. Scientists interviewed for the article concluded, in most cases, a second bout with the virus produced milder symptoms or none at all. Given that no scientific studies have shown significant numbers of reinfections of patients previously infected or previously vaccinated, what specific studies do you cite to argue that the public should be wearing masks well into 2022?
I'm not sure I understand the connection of what you're saying about masks and reinfection. We're talking about people who have never been infected before.
You're telling everybody to wear a mask, whether they've had an infection or a vaccine. What I'm saying is they have immunity, and everybody agrees they have immunity. What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
No, it's not.
You had the vaccine and you're wearing two masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let's get down to the facts. Okay, the studies that you quote from Crotty and Sette look at in vitro examination of memory immunity, which in their paper they specifically say this does not necessarily pertain to the actual protection. It's in vitro.
And what study can you point to that shows significant reinfection? There are no studies that show
Let me finish the response to your question, if you please. The other thing is that when you talk about reinfection and you don't keep in the concept of variants, that's an entirely different ballgame. That's a good reason for a mask. In the South African study conducted by J&J, they found that people who were infected with wild type and were exposed to the variant in South Africa, the 351, it was as if they had never been infected before. They had no protection. So when you talk about reinfection, you've got to make sure you're talking about wild type. I agree with you that you very likely would have protection from wild type for at least 6 months if you're infected. But we in our country now have variants that are circulating.
Significant reinfection. What study shows significant reinfection, hospitalization, and death after either natural infection or the vaccine? It doesn't exist. There is no evidence that there are significant reinfections after vaccine. In fact, I don't think we have a hospitalization in the United States after the two-week period after the second vaccination.
Yeah,
you have a death in the United States.
You're not hearing what I'm saying.
I have a lot more to share, so I cannot keep that up, but I would encourage you to watch this, and you can find it on the Gateway Pundit, because I have more things to share with you today. Let's see. Okay, let me share this video actually with you, okay?
Same subject matter. In 1999, patents on coronavirus started showing up, and thus began the rabbit trail.
March 2003. Panic grips Hong Kong as a deadly new virus sweeps through the city.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike, and that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003, they sought to patent it. And they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it. We know that Anthony Fauci, that Ralph Baric, that the Center for Disease Control, and the laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus.
The World Health Organization has officially named the new novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
The World Health Organization has declared
an international public health emergency.
Well, we know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who is famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. In either outcome, both are illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
Developing and owning a coronavirus vaccine has...
Gold rush. Let's keep that in mind.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened. The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. That funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research. But the letters that were sent to the researchers essentially said, you are receiving notice that we're telling you to stop. And now on the bottom of the page, we're going to clarify what stop means. Keep going.
Okay, now I want
you
to watch
when
this.
When the heat gets hot in 2014 and 15, what do? You offshore the research. You fund the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do the stuff that sounds like it's getting a little edgy with respect to its morality and legality. But do you do it straightway? No. You run the money through a series of cover organizations to make it look like you're funding a U.S. operation, which then subcontracts with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. could say China did it. China could say the U.S. did it. And the cool thing is both of them are almost telling the truth.
That's what I think when I read this. Where was it?
Yes. Also on the COVID front today, a fascinating and testy exchange in a Senate committee today between Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci, yet again, by the way. This time they were discussing something called gain of function. And basically, this is where researchers basically make a virus in a lab on purpose, deliberately. So basically to help prepare for better responses to outbreaks that might occur naturally. So they try to get ahead of the curve by actually making the virus. Well, that's when Senator Paul brought up what happened in that Wuhan lab, and he blamed Fauci. Have a look.
Will you, in front of this group, categorically say that the COVID-19 could not have occurred through serial passage in a laboratory?
I do not have any accounting of what the Chinese may have done, and I'm fully in favor of any further investigation of what went on in China. However, I will repeat again, the NIH and NIAID categorically has not funded gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
You do support it in the U.S. We have 11 labs doing it, and you have allowed it here. We have a committee to do it, but the committee has granted every exemption. You're fooling with Mother Nature here. You're allowing superviruses to be created with a 15% mortality. It's very dangerous. I think it was a huge mistake to share this with China, and it's a huge mistake to allow this to continue in the United States. And we should be very careful to investigate where this virus came from.
I fully agree that you should investigate where the virus came from. But again, we have not funded gain-of-function research on this virus in the Wuhan Institute of Virology,
there was research done with Dr. Shi and Dr. Barrick. They have collaborated on gain-of-function research where they enhanced the SARS virus to infect human airway cells, and they did it by merging a new spike protein on it. That is gain-of-function. That was joint research between the Wuhan Institute and Dr. Barrick. You can't deny it.
Look, we should point out for the record, back in 2014, NIH stopped funding this gain-of-function research, but then they started funding this again 3 years later in 2017. So there are a lot of questions.
Okay. So I think I probably have some more stuff to share with you, but it's getting to be a very long video, so I need to stop it because it's a lot to take in. First of all, I don't even know why you would do something like this to create a virus that's not even found in nature, that if it's not found in nature, then humans won't be able to get it because it's not a thing, because it's not real. But then you create a really awful virus that human beings can get that didn't even occur in nature. Like, to me, that sounds sadistic. Like, it sounds wrong, morally and ethically wrong. If you guys are a physician, you are supposed to be helping people, not creating something that hurts people. So morally and ethically, that's horrible. And I don't know how these physicians look themselves in the mirror. I really don't, because they've just hurt a lot of people. I told you how it hurt me. I wasn't able to hear my dad's voice the day he died, and he had nothing to do with Corona, but the Corona restrictions forbidden me from seeing him on Friday. I tried to go see him on Thursday, but he was still in the ER, and my mom was going to be by his side. He was still in the ER. They hadn't moved him to a room yet when he should have been in a room a long time ago. And he was speaking then. And then Friday, he was still speaking. But that night, he started dying. And they had to put a tube and intubate him. And so my sister and my mom got to see him. And then my sister left. My uncle, who came from Texas, his brother, came to see him. And then the next day, he died. And so the last time I got to hear my dad's voice was the Tuesday. And I tried twice to go see my father. And the last day of his life, I could tell him how I felt, but I couldn't hear his voice. And I can only imagine how frustrating that would be for him, not to be able to tell us how he felt about us the day he's died. And that's because of the stupid coronavirus and the stupid restrictions that took that away from me, took the ability for a lot of people to say goodbye to their loved ones that had nothing to do with Corona. A lot. And then there was a lot of people that did die from Corona. Why? Because someone was sadistic and made a virus that wasn't even occurring in nature. So I hope they find justice here on earth, but I don't know, because their side is very powerful with a lot of money and a lot of power, and it would only be something that God would do to have these people see justice. But I know that the day they die and they meet the Lord themselves, they're going to find justice there. So at some point, justice will be served. But in the meantime, they've hurt a lot of people.